I'm part-time on campus and online. Learn more at mitchellhamlin.edu.
Hey, Cudigee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today, chance of storms with high near 77. While tonight's mostly cloudy with a low around 60, tomorrow, chance of storms with a high near 83, Monday, chance of storms with a high near 78, and Tuesday, mostly sunny, high near 75. Local restaurants are now offering patio dining, limited dine-in, and they're still offering carry-out. So if you want the money that you spend to stay local and help them keep their doors open, go to eatlocalminnesota.com for a list of local restaurants.
This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people. And then finally, the new generation would never know what
I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Uju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikak and Jujuba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There was trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. We're rich.
Hey, Cudigee to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade Hingadena. On today's show, we have Emma Needham, Ruth Buffalo, Sarah Eagleheart, Red Dawn, Mary Kunish Podine, Nancy Bolio, Uncle Curtis, Wendy Pilot, and Winona LaDuke. Let's take a quick listen to the news of this week.
Bonjour, Emigwich, everybody. This is Ogama Ganu Ikwe. My other name is Emma Needham. I'm here with Native Roots Radio with some updates from Turtle Island this week. Fear rises nationwide in what appears to be a series of lynchings happening across the U.S. In an article by Democracy Now, as of June 18th, six people of color, both black and Hispanic, have been found hanging from trees in four states. Officials so far have ruled every case to be a suicide, despite outcry from the public and families demanding further investigation into the death of these people. In Georgia, the Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard announced Wednesday that there are 11 charges against former Atlanta police officer Garrett Wolf, who was fired after he shot Rayshard Brooks twice in the back last Friday night, June 12th. A third shot hit a car with three people inside. The 11 charges Rolf faces are felony murder, 5 counts of aggravated assault, 4 counts of violating his oath of office, and 1 count of criminal damage to property. Devin Brosnan, the other officer at the shooting, faces an aggravated assault charge for standing on Brooks in the parking lot. He also faces 2 counts of violating his oath of office. Attorneys for both officers have said they are not guilty. Following the announcement, however, the Atlanta Police Department reported a large number of call-ins, leaving them short-staffed and forcing officers on duty to work past their normal shifts. Officers, who wished to be unnamed when reporting to CNN, indicated that some officers were refusing to respond to calls unless another officer had called for backup, and that some of the 6 Atlanta districts were severely underprotected, to the point that one precinct, fearing protests overtaking the station, moved crucial materials and staff to another location. It is unclear at this time what the demographics are for the residents of the districts that were most affected by the call-ins. A police union spokesperson told CNN that they did not believe the call-ins were organized, while other unnamed officers reported that there were planned call-ins for the following evening on Thursday night. Meanwhile, Atlanta police chief stepped down, while the city's mayor announced that it would stand by its police officers by offering them a pay raise and a $500 bonus, which they were set to receive on Friday. In world news, our Aboriginal relatives in Australia are facing desecration of many sacred sites at the hands of the mining company BHP. Despite outcry from Aboriginal leaders, the Australian firm plans to demolish sacred sites to make way for an outdated and unneeded mining in the Pilbara Desert in Western Australia. BHP recently received approval to destroy the sites in May after it applied to expand an iron ore mine worth $3.2 billion on land that contains rock shelters some 15,000 years old. While these sites hold important cultural significance to the Aboriginal peoples, they are also important for historical and scientific reasons that are planning to be destroyed to make way for mining. While the destruction has prompted some to take to the streets in protest over the last week, likely fueled by ongoing protests in the U.S., Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison has sought to detach the ideas of Black Lives Matter from the Indigenous populations there and has been taking an increasingly conservative stance on the issue. Australia was not based on the slave trade, he said in a recent radio interview, adding that he did not believe that the country had a problem with systemic racism. According to the New York Times, BHP was careful on Thursday to say that it would not destroy the heritage sites without, quote, further extensive consultation, end quote, with traditional owners, but a spokesman made it clear in an interview that it had no plans to cancel the demolition. BHP also has operations in the Americas, including Chile, Peru, Colombia, and Canada. In more news of our Mother Earth, the CEO of Pacific Gas and Electric, commonly known as PG&E, Bill Johnson, pled guilty on behalf of the company on Tuesday to 84 counts of involuntary manslaughter in a dramatic hearing regarding the devastating Camp Fire of 2018, one of the most destructive wildfires in U.S. history. Advocates for corporate accountability argued that the nation's largest utility should face more concrete consequences for the crime. In a county investigation after the campfire, they found PG&E let its power grid deteriorate and scaled back inspections of its equipment, allowing a hook connected to a transmission tower to break and start the blaze that killed 84 people and nearly wiped out the entire town of Paradise, California, leaving just 5% of buildings undamaged. The company also pled guilty to starting the fire unlawfully, another felony. Superior Court Judge Michael Deems is expected this week to only slap PG&E with a $3.5 million fine. equivalent to less than $42,000 per victim, plus $500,000 for the cost of the investigation. Meanwhile, in a previous case, PG&E was placed on criminal probation after its natural gas lines exploded part of San Bruno, California in 2010, killing 8 people. The company's probation period related to that incident does not end until January 2022 and did not appear to be factored in by the judge in the current ruling regarding the campfire, despite that any average citizen would face more severe consequences for the same actions. In other news of fires, the Wilson Road fire has scorched forested areas southeast of Oglala on the Pine Ridge Reservation. According to a post by the BIA Pine Ridge Agency's Facebook, the fire tripled in size from 200 acres to approximately 600 acres across timber and tall grass in the area as of 2:30 p.m. Wednesday. The BIA Forestry and Wildland Fire Management updated and said that the fire was 95% contained as of Friday evening, at 7 p.m. Initial reports showed the cause of the fire had human origins, and the BIA has since clarified by adding that a firework is the culprit behind the blaze. Investigators have not yet labeled any suspects in this case. In other news, Indigenous models Chelsea Luger of Standing Rock Sioux and the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa will join Shailene Joseph from the Ahani people of Fort Belknap, Montana, and the Athabaskan people of Tanana, Alaska, as part of a Nike campaign with Ashley Collingbull. All three will be the new faces of Nike's N7 campaign. Ashley Collingbull is the first Canadian Miss Universe, and she's also the first Indigenous woman to win the title. Nike has now created the N7 Fund, which, according to a recent press release, supports organizations that provide sport and physical activity programming to youth, and it supports organizations that encourage broader forms of healing through education and career development rooted in traditional community practices and values. The N7 Fund is also providing a grant to the Native Wellness Institute, which is a nonprofit that supports the well-being of Indigenous communities by reawakening ancestral teachings tied to health and wellness. There are many ways to be a warrior woman. Congratulations to all three ladies for bringing Native beauty to the media. We're going to take a little time out here to talk about another warrior woman and wish Madonna Thunderhawk a very happy, belated 80th birthday. We'd like to thank Madonna once again for gracing the airwaves of Native Roots Radio with her stories and for her lifelong work to improve the lives of Indigenous peoples through activism and community organization. She was involved with the occupations of Wounded Knee and Alcatraz, co-founded the We Will Remember Survival School, Women of All Red Nations, and the Black Hills Alliance. She has also spoken at the United Nations in Geneva multiple times. This is by no means a complete list of her activism and accomplishments. At our last contact with her, she was helping feed the Border Patrol of the Cheyenne River Sioux and Oglala Sioux tribes. The tribes installed the checkpoints in early April to protect their community from the threat of COVID-19 and have remained ongoing. Madonna is truly a warrior woman, and we wish you the best for the upcoming year. From Native Roots Radio. Miigwech and thank you. This is Ogama Ganuikwe, and back to you, Wakanjahade.
We're happy to have Winona give us a quick update. Winona LaDuke, she's up there working and farming and also collecting more awards. Congratulations on that journalism award, Winona LaDuke.
Hey, thanks. That was an award for journalism and activism, the Danny Schechter Award. You know, really honored. I just do my best, like you do, Robert, to tell our stories, you know. While history's being made, we might as well write it. So proud to be part of the team of journalists.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, in the meantime, my guy's laughing because I'm just so tired from farming. It's exhausting, you know, but births are never easy. This is the birth of the new green revolution, man.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of people rolling up their sleeves in farming and gardening. So, you know, I'm in the midst of that. And I really feel like now's the time for tribal governments and the state to look at the next economy. You know, Enbridge is laying off another 600 employees. They've got 6.7 million for safety violations from the EPA. And they just got closed down. The Straits of Mackinac tunnel of Enbridge's line 5 that goes into the Straits of Mackinac because there's some big catastrophic problem that didn't happen, but is on the edge of happening. Some anchor came loose. So, you know, I feel like you're sitting here again and, you know, everybody's clamoring for opening up, getting to normal. I don't feel like normal is a good idea.
Right.
I think we want to be better.
Exactly.
I think we want to be better. And you know, it's so crazy because you watch what's going on in the cities. I did go down there. I collected my cannabis plants or my hemp plants down there south of the cities, and I'd go look at Lake Street and just mourn, you know, what is going on. But then also rejoice in that a shift is happening.
Right.
You know, and that statues are toppling, looks like, huh?
Yeah, definitely. But how does it feel to go up to the, as you say, the deep north, for somebody up there?
Right. You know, so I live on the White Earth Reservation. I went up to the Red Lake Reservation to deliver the Red Lake Farming Project some hemp because I happen to have a lot of hemp varieties that we're working on here. I drive there, and from my reservation to Red Lake is full of Minnesotans for Line 3 and Trump signs.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you want to get out of your car and you're like, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like super. This is the deep north. Make no mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is very much the deep north up here. And Hubbard County Sheriff is preparing for, you know, arrests and assault and trying to deny people access to public land in anticipation of Enbridge, which has been, you know, and Enbridge's projects have been put back again because they're challenged in all these regulatory arenas, rightfully so, because, you know, I just got to say, Robert, you know, if I had a corporation that wanted to do a risky project and was self-financed, lost $1.4 billion and laid off 600 workers, I'd be wondering how well things are going to work for us, you know?
Exactly.
I'd be wondering how well things are going to work. And so I feel like the state of Minnesota should take a second look at all the promises Enbridge made, and maybe we should just do cool stuff. Like, it was raining in the city, as you know. And I was like, which road is going to go out? Which pipe is going to go out? Mm-hmm. We need pipes, but we need pipes in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
The next torrential rainstorm could take out so much, you know. So let's build infrastructure for people, and let's be in the new green revolution.
Exactly.
That's my update from the north. Keep growing, praying, and keep toppling statues down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, and I know you're really busy up there farming, and I just wanted to be able to get a short update with you and congratulate you on that journalism award. Winona LaDuke.
Thank you. Hey, have a good day, all. Miigwech.
Pinigigi. Up next, Ruth Buffalo, House Representative of North Dakota. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudahy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
For over 100 years, Mitchell Hamlin School of Law in St. Paul, Minnesota has been committed to providing access to legal education and experience in the law. At Mitchell Hamlin, students can specialize in Indian law, taking courses about federal Indian law, tribal law, natural resources, and more. Students can complete their JD full-time, part-time, in person, and online. Learn more about Mitchell Hamlin's Native Justice Scholarships and how to apply at mitchellhamlin.edu.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahare, which means distant thunder. Every week, for the past year, we've had Ruth Buffalo, who's a North Dakota House Representative, on, and Wendy. It's always great to hear from her.
I was just saying what a great voice Ruth has.
Voice of reason.
voice of reason, absolutely.
She's laughing in the background there. Ruth, you're not supposed to laugh.
She has a voice of reason.
Thank you.
We need strong women like Ruth to stand up and to use her voice for the people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Ruth. We got updates in North Dakota, so let's get started. Welcome.
Thank you. It's always good to be able to visit with both of you.
Thank you, Pinigigi. So this week, we've got things going on. I know the House tried to get you guys tried to get going back, some legislation going. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, a few of our leaders within the Democrat Partisan League caucus here in North Dakota put forth a bill, and also which calls for a special session. By law in North Dakota, we have 80 days to convene as a legislative assembly every other year. And so right now we're in an off year, and we only used, in the last session, we only used up to 76 days. Mm. So we technically have 4 days available to use before the 66th Legislative Assembly in January of 2021. So trying to gain traction there, but again, we're in a trifecta state too, where there's only 25 Dem and PLers out of 141. I was saying 144, but it's 141, I guess, of total legislative seats. Yeah. So it's really calling for a special session is what our legislative leaders within our caucus did this past week. And they held a press conference and, wanting to get their message across that they need we as legislators need to step forward, and it's our responsibility to take action in calling a special session so that we're really exercising a true democracy. Because right now there's only 6 people making decisions on, the huge amount of billions of dollars coming in to the state through the CARES funding.
Oh my
act.
Gosh.
So it's really, and then,
within this budget committee, there's 14 districts that are not being represented also. So there's just some gaps there that where people are not being provided equal voice in this process. But the argument, though, is that they need to get these funds out there quick, you know, ASAP. And so then our argument is, well, we could also meet quickly, too, if we needed to. And then people are concerned about the close quarters in the state capitol, the chamber and the house, and then even the committee room. And so, you know, there was a suggestion, well, there's a civic Bismarck Civic Center, you know, you could maybe use that as an option. If, you know, practice social physical distancing with chairs and things, or why not meet remotely? You know, that's something our governor really is known for as a business technology man. And so, and I think there was a big hire too, like our state spent a lot of money in their IT department and just hired someone from Microsoft. And so, you know, and our governor used to oversee Microsoft. So
Well, let's do it, because last time the federal government hurried it up, they were paying companies that weren't even from the United States, and all these banks are getting all this money. So, yeah, that we got to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, and we it's our responsibility, too, as legislators. You know, we were voted in by our constituents, you know, the people of North Dakota, and so we have a responsibility to represent them the best way we can, too.
Exactly.
Even if there's only 25 of us, you know, Dem NPLers.
Well, so. You know, I think you guys speak the truth, so I think there's more people that understand what you're saying than just the 25 or the percentage of, what is that, 10% of the House. You guys had some marches going on, and can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Today at 9 a.m., there was another gathering at Island Park. This gathering was led by the Black Lives Matter movement and One Fargo. They're both young people working towards the same goal of, you know, getting their voices heard and looking at things that happened from the peaceful march in the morning during May 30th, and then later that evening it turned into a riot, or you know, a second group of people. Maybe I mean it was a mix of events on May 30th, and so today's march was still in response to that, in regards to the kind of like the requests and demands that they're giving city government.
Wow.
And the police department, there's concerns there. So they weren't pleased with how things were transpiring since May 30th. And so so how I understand it is they're saying, you know, there's more work that needs to be done. And so I think it's kind of a hiccup, and they're coming together to find solutions for our communities. And so...
Yeah.
Is that making sense? Like I think the young people are feeling like they're not being heard by city officials, and so took to the streets, so to speak, today to march again. So, but it was a peaceful march. But yesterday, the mayor of Fargo declared a state of emergency for Fargo for today's march, and so parts of downtown Fargo were shut down. Like the public library and, you know, businesses downtown.
Were they afraid that the buildings would be burnt down like what happened in Minneapolis? Is that the reason?
Yeah.
And did any of that happen at all?
Yeah, that was the belief, I guess. It's how I'm understanding it, that they didn't want to risk, you know, property damage and things, downtown businesses. Similar to like what happened on May 30th in the evening, there were at that time like windows busted in local businesses downtown, and a couple businesses that I know that were broken too.
Wow. Wow. So with this last minute and a half we have, you happened to watch something online and then you got in your car. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, there was a Human Relations Commission meeting held yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an opportunity for the public to provide comment and recommendations on how the city of Fargo can do better and come together as a community. So it was interesting to listen to community members share their concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got in the Batmobile and got down there. Right?
Well, I ended up driving down to the city hall. So I was kind of on the fence of whether or not I should attend, because I don't want to take, you know, someone else's space to talk to,
mm-hmm.
in you know, providing comments. But I just felt that I could provide another perspective, mm-hmm. to the conversation. And I am a community member of Fargo, and
that's right.
My family is, and so I'm a mom. But that was the angle I came from.
Well, that was good. And, you know, we're here in the Twin Cities, and we're always so proud, first, to have you on our show. We're really honored. But also all the work you're doing, and sometimes I know it feels like you're on an island, so hopefully we can blast this out through the United States and people listen to this on iTunes and Facebook Live and listen to what you're going through.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate all the support I get from you guys. Super helpful, and it's, you know, given me energy too to like try to help get more people elected, you know, mm-hmm. of diverse, fresh perspectives. So
yeah.
That's been fun to do so far too, you know, just volunteering kind of behind the scenes with different people.
Yeah.
Just on random things, but who are running for office. So it's fun to kind of seem like I'm providing some mentorship too.
Yeah. Well, somebody mentored you too, so that's yeah. we gotta give it away to keep it. And I know you're doing an awesome job. And you know, we usually talk a little bit. We got to go out and vote, and we also make sure that we do the social distancing and the census. These are our big things that we always yep. talk about.
Yes, they had. Speaking of the census, they had kind of like a special theme day or a hashtag. Kind of sound old saying that, but they had something through Twitter a couple of days this week on, you know, big push for communities to make sure they fill out the census and mm-hmm. get counted and the mm-hmm. importance of it. So it was good to see that getting back out there in the airwaves.
Right, exactly. I think it's important too. I think we're going to make a big push of here in the Twin Cities of signing up 500 Native Americans that have never voted before and get them out there. And that's are going to be our goal, our short-term goal. That's what we want to do.
That's awesome.
Right. Yeah.
Sounds really fun.
Well, we'll get t-shirts and send them out with you with that sticker we owe you too, the Native Roots Radio sticker
okay.
we owe you. Thank you so much for being on, and thank you for all you do. And we're behind you 100%. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was North Dakota House Representative Ruth Buffalo. We'll be right back. Hey, Cudgee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice, and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at mn350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today, chance of storms with high near 77. While tonight's mostly cloudy with a low around 60, tomorrow, chance of storms with a high near 83, Monday, chance of storms with a high near 78, and Tuesday, mostly sunny, high near 75. Estate planning doesn't just create a plan for what happens after you die. It helps your loved ones care for you in the event of an accident or as you age. Get started today with Stroman Law in St. Paul. Call 651-571-2515 or visit stromanlaw.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. You know, we got a really fun thing we want to promote here. We have Sarah Eagleheart, and Sarah's doing a Solstice live stream, Native COVID Action. I love the Native COVID Action. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Thank you. And thank you for spending some time with us. I just want to announce to everyone that we're going to take a week off from the Native Symposium, and we're going to cross promote your great show. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate the support. Yeah, our Solstice live stream is really focused on supporting Native COVID Action Fund, which is a fund that has been supporting six different regions of support around Native COVID Action. We are working with women who have been leading regional efforts in Michigan, as well as the Great Plains. And so the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board, which it covers North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa, as well as New Mexico Native American Relief Fund, and then also Tuba City Regional Healthcare, and then Northern California, the Hoopa, Yurok, and Curragh tribes. Yeah,
wow.
So we've been here since March.
Wow, and sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. So let's talk about it's going to be on live at 5 p.m., and then you're going to be doing some stuff with TikTok. Tell us, this sounds really exciting.
Yeah, we're really excited because, you know, I've been very, very fortunate in my world to get a lot of support from different influencers. I'm formerly CEO of Native Americans and Philanthropy, and I'm now the CEO of Return of the Heart Foundation, which I co-founded with Red Dawn Foster, who's a South Dakota State Senator for District 27, my home res of Oglala Sioux Tribe. And we wanted to create a foundation that would support Indigenous women-led initiatives. And we really felt like there was an ecosystem of work and organizers on the ground that were really working around narrative change, climate justice, civic engagement, and needed support around economic development. And so we were all ready to focus on get out the vote, but then COVID happened. And you know, different leaders just started reaching out to me because I've spent so much of my time, pretty much the last 15 years, focused as a bridge builder between different tribal communities that people knew that I knew people, I think. And they were also like, we need help because some of the regional healthcare centers, you know, they're not directly connected to an IHS or a federal system. And so they were really struggling with personal protective equipment and having access to it. So that's really where we stepped in to help and have been raising funds to purchase and buy and also facilitate in-kind donations to these different regional areas. So we have a $4 million goal, but we've reached a little over $1 million. Mm-hmm. And so we're hoping on Sunday we'll be able to help bridge that gap just a little bit. And so we have incredible allies and performers who have come forward, like Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas,
cool.
Portugal the Man, who is just incredible. And then we also have Brooke Simpson, Moo Moo Fresh, Orville Peck, Mark DeMarco, Ty Segall, and really incredible sister ally influencers with Anne Hathaway and Marissa Tomei.
Cool.
But we're going to do fun things like we're going to do a powwow contest dance special with a fancy dance special and a jingle dress special. And this whole TikTok challenge is really around we want our young people and our women, so kind of the young bloods and the OGs, to jump on TikTok and to do their best dance on the TikTok, which, you know, I think can be a max of like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever gets the most likes on TikTok, we're going to put them on the live stream and they're going to have a dance off. And
wow.
So it's going to be sort of a generational battle.
That's cool. And there's cash prizes, right?
There's cash prize. Yeah. We're going to give $2,500 to the winner of each category. So we're really excited about that and excited to be able to help some of these dancers out there that, you know, would normally be at a powwow, but are having to do it from home now.
Exactly. So that's going to be 7 o'clock when we usually do Sunday's Native Symposium across the country. And we're going to cross promote that and cross post it. And we're going to take a week off just because we feel that this is a very important thing you're doing, period.
We appreciate that. I mean, we are also going to have some deep dive interviews. So I'm going to interview some women who are very new supporters and, you know, a part of Return of the Heart, and it's our society. And so we have 8 new, brand new members of our society,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be interviewing half of them on our live stream. And so Yonaza Lone Wolf, who's an organizer, who's been doing a lot of organizing for Indigenous Peoples Movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lila June, who, you know, I think everyone knows her as for her work in climate justice. And mm-hmm. she also ran for office down in New Mexico. And then Siobhan Alira Rose, who is a actress. She is she's the first Native lead actress of a TV series. She was a part of Chambers that
mm-hmm.
Had co-stars with Uma Thurman and Tony Goldwyn. And then we have Candy Brinks-Plenty, who is from my own tribe as well, who is going to be sharing a lot about her work with the ACLU and South Dakota.
Wow.
So, and my co-host is Tanya Jo Hall.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of really great music. And I feel like we're at a time where we really need to take some time and reflect. But I also think that talking about some real issues that are important to the Native community and, you know, so many of the women that are out there organizing right now
mm-hmm.
Around COVID response, but many of them that have been organizing their communities for so long
mm-hmm.
and, you know, really need the support so that we can really change and turn around so much of our community-led initiative. So, yeah, we're very excited.
Well, that's great. And that's on at 7 p.m., and it's going to be on AM 950, delayed 2 hours from 10 to 12. So we're really excited to support your action and the Native COVID action. We really are happy to be partnershiping in this. This is really a big deal for us.
Thank you. We're excited to make it all happen and so grateful for partners like you.
Thank you. That was Sarah Eaglehart of Native COVID Action, and they're doing a live stream, and we're going to be broadcasting that instead of the Native Symposium. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
If you're hurting in your relationship and want to talk, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, safe, confidential, and anonymous domestic violence helpline at 1-844-762-8483 or connect with a live advocate one-on-one by using the Chat Now button at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
For over 100 years, Mitchell Hamlin School of Law in St. Paul, Minnesota has been committed to providing access to legal education and experience in the law. At Mitchell Hamlin, students can specialize in Indian law, taking courses about federal Indian law, tribal law, natural resources, and more. Students can complete their JD full-time, part-time, in person, and online. Learn more about Mitchell Hamlin's Native Justice Scholarships and how to apply at mitchellhamlin.edu. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm with Kunjahare. That means distant thunder. Hey, and this is the second week in a row, and we're really excited to have South Dakota State Senator, District 27, Red Dawn. And thank you so much for stopping by Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Thank you and Native Roots Radio for having me.
Right on. So, hey, one of the things I want to have you on is to give us an update what's happening in South Dakota. We see stuff, but you're right there. We want to hear really what's happening. So one of the things I know national news is talking about is that you're a hot spot now.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that because I think that term hot spot could be applied to both. One, unfortunately, our COVID numbers are increasing. We're at the level of substantial community spread. So that means that people are now getting the virus and they can't necessarily trace where they were exposed to it. So it's a really good time to just create a plan to keep our elders safe. Our family We have one runner that goes shopping who actually doesn't even live in the household with my dad, because my dad is 72 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's Navajo, so he lives on the Navajo reservation. And so just creating that plan that he's sheltered from exposure and be able to do that. So that's what we're really encouraging, is to just create a plan, really social distance, wear a mask. If everyone's wearing a mask, it eliminates the risk of spreading substantially. So, right. And then the other hotspot thing is we actually had a pretty big forest fire here from fireworks, and about 1,500 acres burned. So it was quite eventful. No housing structures were burnt. We had actually a lot of help. The fire department from Rosebud came down. Fire department, the volunteer fire department from both Rushville and Martin came. So we had a lot of people coming in and just making sure that everyone was safe. But 1,500 acres is a lot. So it was pretty intense, but no one got hurt, and no structures were burned. But there is now a fireworks ban on the reservation.
Wow.
So, you know, 2 years ago, I won by 1,000 votes. This year, we have myself running for senator, Pri Puyer running for House, and her partner, Ernest Weston Jr., also running for House. So there's a chance to have three natives in that district. And, you know, just hoping that we get a good, strong turnout, because there's been a lot of, you know, just changes with the COVID and vote from home. But if we all get out there and vote, we'll increase South Dakota's Native representation by one more vote, and we'll possibly have six natives in legislature, which is great. Nothing compared to Montana, or nothing compared to what we could have if every native went and voted. And if actually we had a really good native turnout, this session is we're redistricting. So depending on the voter turnout, we could possibly gain one more seat in Indian Country. So this is a really important year to vote. Plus, we have a couple of really interesting initiatives on the ballot. Really good time to have your voice be heard, increase Native turnout, vote representation, and it makes a huge difference. One thing I like to remind people is that Kristi Noem won her election for governor against Billy Sutton by 10,000 votes. Indian Country alone could have made up that difference. And we wouldn't be having this fight with KXL that we are right now. So there's been a lot of really, you know, legislation that was targeted towards just, I feel, you know, Indian Country with the riot boosting, and also people who are concerned about the environment. And, hey, one way to prevent that is to vote and get legislators, get leaders, representatives that represent our interests, our worldview. So in South Dakota, the Native vote can really make a difference of who's representing us.
There's something going on the 24th there, too.
Yeah, we have a group of youth in Pine Ridge. They are doing an action, Say Their Name, candlelight vigil, and it's for just to stand in solidarity with what's going on in the wider context of just breaking down racial discrimination. And they want to see their voices heard, and it's an amazing group of individuals. This youth, Laura Tenfingers, Maya Eagle, Joy Newholy, Aiden Pond, Morningstar Roland, and Mike Ella Benson. So it's amazing to see these youth get together and plan something like this and say, you know, we want our voices heard. We want to know that we stand up against racial discrimination, and that we're ready to stand and just march for it. So it was really great to see them do that, because the biggest thing is organizing, you know, that goes along for the vote. That goes a long way of just making sure that we have that base and that they're informed and engaged. So it's amazing to see the youth doing that.
Yeah. And it's heartwarming. I had a Madonna on, who's the Warrior Woman. There's a documentary on her, and she said there was a really dry time of 10 or 15 years where is everybody? And now everybody's coming out. And I think a lot of it had to do with Standing Rock and the Eighth Fire going everywhere. It's really heartening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Madonna. She is amazing. It's amazing what that they had done, because she just celebrated her birthday.
80th,
which
yeah.
Yes. And so
I was shocked to hear that. I was at Wounded Knee and she was on a horse and then I heard she turned 80 and went, what? She was on a horse when the last time I saw her.
Yeah. That's an amazing warrior woman there, you know? So that's, so all the work that they did, it feels good to, you know, see that, to be a part of that and see the awakening of the world. And I think we're at this moment that transformative change is possible more than I'd ever thought before. And I'm just really grateful to see the youth standing up, grateful for everything that, you know, Madonna and just you, my father, my mother, everybody that has the work that they've been putting in, and seeing that. I mean, I have, you know, cousins and uncles and aunties that said, finally, you know, we've been working for this our whole life and now it's spreading. So
right.
It's amazing to see.
Well, and it's amazing that you're doing what you're doing, and how, you know, I always try to, for me, I connect the dots backwards. Well, how did I get here? What did I do? And it must be amazing to see when you have that time just to see how you've gotten to where you are right now at this point in your life. And it's amazing. And I want Native Roots Radio to support you and get the word out what's happening in South Dakota with a young warrior like yourself.
Well, the youth are definitely, I mean, they're doing some amazing stuff. And I think that just the world is ready for living a more just, in a just society, that everything, the myths that wider society has been told, it's coming to light. And I think that this is going to lead to not just liberation of, you know, the Black community and Indigenous community, but also bringing awareness to the climate crisis that we're experiencing. And Native people, just the connection to the land that we've had, we've felt it and warned about it for so long. But I think that people are really ready to listen and to not just accept that status quo. So,
wow, I think I'm going to end it at that. That was a great way to end this segment. Peeny Gigi for being on and all you do. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Red Dawn Foster's South Dakota State Senator. We'll be right back after this short break.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
My name is Jackie, and I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to the AM 950 KTNF St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Minus. So far.
World Health Organization Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. There is a vaccine for the influenza virus, but that's not a coronavirus, that's a rhinovirus. The WHO's Dr. Mike Ryan says that's why the safety trials especially are important before testing for effectiveness.
Because there's always a chance of a very rare side effect. You need to be able to pick that up and manage it.
So a vaccine for COVID-19 will be the first ever coronavirus vaccine. I'm Jim Roop.
There are more than 2.2 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the U.S., and the death toll has topped 119,000. I'm Ann Cates.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today. and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
At Advance Auto Parts, we take the guesswork out of your oil change so you can get to work. Our experts will help you find the right oil, the right filter, at the right price every day. Get 5 quarts of full synthetic Mobil 1, Valvoline, Castrol Edge, or Pennzoil Platinum with a qualifying premium oil filter for $33.99. Plus, get a free remote control car with purchase of 5 quarts Mobil 1 after rebate. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participate in CarQuest locations. See store for details.
Hey, Cudigee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
For over 100 years, Mitchell Hamlin School of Law in St. Paul has been committed to providing access to legal education and experience in the law. As an attorney, you can help your community improve through service and the pursuit of justice. Mitchell Hamlin's alumni community of 20,000 is leading and working in nearly every profession imaginable. Students can complete their law degree in a way that fits their life, full-time, part-time, on campus, and online. Learn more at mitchellhamlin.edu.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today, chance of storms with high near 77. While tonight's mostly cloudy with a low around 60, tomorrow chance of storms with a high near 83, Monday chance of storms with a high near 78, and Tuesday mostly sunny, high near 75. Local restaurants are now offering patio dining, limited dine-in, and they're still offering carry-out. So if you want the money that you spend to stay local and help them keep their doors open, go to eatlocalminnesota.com for a list of local restaurants.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio, Hour 2. I am awake. All things are our relatives. What we do to everything, we do to ourselves. All is one, and that's from Black Elk, from Black Elk Speaks. This is our sacred animal part of the show, and I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States And she works on animal issues at the state level. Tell us your name, Wendy, and welcome as always.
Yes. Hello, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega, and that is Curtis right here. So thank you so much, Curtis. You know, before we started doing this, I had our cat Lucy on our on my lap, and she was meowing. And right now, Lucy is in stage 4 kidney failure, and I just wanted to let people know that we're doing our best to take really good care of her. We're keeping her really comfortable, and we have to give her fluids like every other day. So that means like a liter of Ringer's lactate fluid. Robert usually holds her and talks to her and calms her down, and I kind of stick her under the skin, and we give her fluids, and the fluids help her kidneys, and she's it'll just help her, you know, live longer and have a better quality of life. So that's what we're doing for our cat Lucy. And she might burst in this door any minute now and meow.
I think she's taking advantage of her illness, too, because she's really I carry around all the time.
I know. And like, oh, the food, too. Well, anyway.
that's another show. That'll be your podcast.
That is another show. It will be my podcast. But what I wanted to talk to you about, Robert, is Jane Goodall. And I know that I've talked to her, talk about her before, Jane Goodall. Here's an article here. And she was actually just did a webinar on June 3rd. And she talks about and she warns humanity will be finished after COVID-19 without ending absolute disrespect for animals and the environment. In a webinar about pandemics, wildlife, and intensive animal farming, world-renowned primatologist and conservationist Jane Goodall warned of dire consequences if humanity fails to rapidly reform the global food system and stop destroying natural habitats. Excuse me, I have to clear my froggy voice. Okay. Quote, "If we do not do things differently, we are finished," said Goodall, a United Nations messenger of peace during the Compassion in World Farming event. "We can't go on very much longer like this." The 86-year-old founder of the Jane Goodall Institute, famous for her research on wild chimpanzees at Gombe National Park in Tanzania, delivered an online speech as the international community continued to battle the corona pandemic, which has killed over 382,000 people. That's more since now, because this is from June 3rd that I'm reading from. And more than 6.4 million people worldwide. So, Robert, I've talked to you about Jane Goodall, and she's 86 right now, and she's very soft-spoken. And
I gave you an autographed book of hers, too.
I know. Oh, my God. She's 86, and she's still working, and she's still trying to spread the word that we really need to work on animal advocacy. And a lot of people forget, you know, this coronavirus has been going on in the United States right now, what, 3-4 months now? And we keep going.
At least, right?
Right? And people forget where it originated from. It originally came from animals, the confinement and ill treatment of animals. And I think that people kind of forget that sometimes.
Oh, they definitely do with all the different news. It came from a laboratory. It came, you know, all the fake news out there.
Absolutely. The Guardian reported, quote, "She blamed the emergence of, quote, COVID-19 on the overexploitation of the natural world, which has seen forests cut down, species made extinct, and natural habitats destroyed. Intensive farming was also creating a reservoir of animal diseases that would spill over and hurt human society," said Goodall. "We have brought this on ourselves because of our absolute disrespect for animals and the environment," Goodall said, "on the ongoing pandemic. Our disrespect for wild animals and our disrespect for farm animals have created the situation where diseases can spill over and infect human beings. We have come to a turning point in our relationship with the natural world," she adds. "One of the lessons learned from this crisis is that we must change our ways. Scientists warn that to avoid future crisis, We must drastically change our diets and move to plant-rich foods for the sake of the animals, the planet, and the health of our children. In addition to urging the world to urgently shift away from factory farming and the destruction of wildlife, Goodall acknowledged the need to end poverty, war, and violence worldwide to protect nature. Her speech was celebrated by animal rights and climate campaigners who tweeted the Guardian's reporting about the webinar. She's all about it. She's about animals, which is connected to the environment.
She sounds native. That's the way the natives talk.
Absolutely.
It's a one big circle.
Absolutely. Like you said in your when you introduced me, mm-hmm. all things are one. What we do to mm-hmm. one, we do to everything.
Right.
And it's true. And she does talk like that mm-hmm. she is native. I think she's an English woman. She has an English accent.
Well, you know, we're all indigenous to our own lands, and I think one of the last people that have not been totally colonized is the Native American.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Ireland had their tribes. Mm-hmm. I mean, go on and on. Italy, all these people thousands and thousands of years ago didn't live the colonized way, which she's talking mm-hmm. about, basically.
Absolutely. That's exactly what she's talking about and how we need to take care of everything and everyone. And that animals are really very important to us and our land and how we're going to go on as human beings.
Right. And we need to look at our grandkids and their grandkids' future.
Absolutely.
That's what we're doing on this show here. You know, I know one of the shows we had about a year ago, you were talking about in your section that every day there's something being wiped out, mm-hmm. that it's never coming back.
An animal is becoming extinct that we will never, ever see again on this earth. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's sad. And I think one of the things that we're leading up to is that human beings are going to be extinct here. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in our generation, but maybe not our grandkids' generation, but maybe their generation.
Mm-hmm. Because where there won't be any humans.
Yeah.
The world will flourish.
Yeah.
It really will.
Well,
it'll be a Garden of Eden without us.
Well, look, two things about that statement. Look at what was happening around the world when people were staying in mm-hmm. and driving less and doing things.
That's right.
And then also, this you said this once too about the United States before it was colonized and before the white people came here and started colonizing. This was the Garden of mm-hmm. Eden.
That's right. Because the Native American people only took what they needed and only used what they needed. They didn't take anything else or anything more. And when they killed an animal to eat and to use their fur for warmth and blankets and coats, they used every part of that animal, and that mm-hmm. was a sacred animal, and it was cherished and respected.
Right. In a lot of places there are, unless you've been colonized, you know.
Mm-hmm. And we're all colonized.
Yeah. You know, there's some that are fighting that, and there's the big seventh generation and the eighth fire that's mm-hmm. been released that's changing, but mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to change quick enough, and I don't know if we have enough time to do that. But there's people like Barry Hand that's mm-hmm. a language warrior and also knows the ways that we get our information mm-hmm. from a lot of times, too.
Absolutely.
On what to do and when it comes to being native. And
yeah. But if anybody wants to go on and listen to what Jane Goodall has to say about animals and the environment and the water and the earth and the whole thing, just Google Jane Goodall pandemic webinar, and you'd probably be able to find it really easy. But
I could say the same thing if you wanted to hear Wendy Pilot speak on that. Just come to AM 950, Native Roots Radio, I should say. And our other shows, because we need your voice, her voice. I didn't realize she was 86 years old.
I didn't either. I does it too. And she's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It's always good to hear somebody amplified like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, sometimes it takes a few years for people to understand. I think what we've gone through with COVID-19 is a big a big shift in thinking. And we also, through COVID, have found out really what the United States stands for by how they treat their people. Mm-hmm. And that was before, you know, the George Floyd murder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're finding out really who essential workers are, mm-hmm. and who's really essential and who isn't, and who's making money off of who.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, Wendy, I want to thank you again for bringing up every week. I don't think we would be talking as much about our sacred animals and with hooves and wings if it wasn't for you.
Thank you.
Right on. Pini Gigi. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudgee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilots Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pini Gigi, and thank you for your support.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
For over 100 years, Mitchell Hamlin School of Law in St. Paul, Minnesota has been committed to providing access to legal education and experience in the law. At Mitchell Hamlin, students can specialize in Indian law, taking courses about federal Indian law, tribal law, natural resources, and more. Students can complete their JD full-time, part-time, in person, and online. Learn more about Mitchell Hamlin's Native Justice Scholarships and how to apply at mitchellhamlin.edu.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Each week we have a great update from House Representative Mary Kunish-Podein. Let's take a listen.
How Metakiape at State Representative Mary Kunish Podine on this beautiful June 19th evening, weekend of the summer solstice, longest day of sunlight coming up here. We are 1 week into our special session for the state legislature, and I can tell you we have been busy, 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 busy. As a member of the Posse Caucus, People of Color Indigenous, we spent one heck of a week putting together some really good legislation around police safety and reform, around all the different issues that affect our folks of color as well as all of Minnesota. Today is Friday. I always mix my days up when we're this busy. And yesterday we had a long day. We went well into the early morning of 2 o'clock as we debated a piece of legislation around police accountability and reform. And so we went back and forth with our GOP members because we were trying to put together, we were trying to pass the Minnesota Police Accountability Act of 2020. And we know that people were watching and looking. Different states were looking to follow our lead. And with their eyes upon us, we put together three buckets of legislation that would reimagine and reform how public safety works. And so one of the first things that we really wanted to get through and to be paramount is that there needs to be consequences for police officers who break their oath to serve and protect. Because nobody, no matter who they are, where they are, what the situation, is above the law. And Minnesotans are really asking for systematic change in police accountability. And so we met with community members, we met with experts, and put together the Minnesota Police Accountability Act. And it was all informed by the voices and the life experience of people of color and our Indigenous caucus. By working with the members of those communities that are most impacted by generational trauma, and that certainly is our American Indian communities across the state, across the nation, we put together this plan. We put the first steps in order to make systematic change that's going to lead to that accountability. And there were like three buckets, we called it. And the first one was reclaiming community oversight. That puts the power into the hands of the people and the neighborhoods that police officers are sworn to protect and serve. And there were a handful of pieces of legislation, a retroactive repeal of the statutes of limitation, warrior training prohibited, chokehold bans, duty to intercede, police residency, data collection and reform, arbitration reform, and then, of course, a law enforcement oversight council. And then the second bucket is reforming accountability. And that was meant to restore confidence and trust in the systems that are meant to provide justice for all Minnesotans. And so there were four bills in there: use of force reform, prosecutorial reform, investigatory reform, and cash bail reform. And the last one is reimagining public safety. And that one is meant to end the unacceptable culture that's responsible for members of our communities, such as George Floyd and far too many others who look like him. I found an article of an active database that the Star Tribune has, and over since 2000, they have been tracking all the deaths by police officers. It's been 195 in the last 10 years, which, of course, averages out to about 20 a year. And that's 20 too many every year. And so this reimagining public safety included bills around public safety peer counseling and debriefing, critical incident review. That was the one that I had after a critical incident where there was a death by a police officer. We want to put together a community review, community-led public safety. So the community tells us what needs to be in place for public safety, mental health training, autism training, and restore the vote. That one took us hours and hours on the floor, but we did finally end it at the end of the day, yesterday, 2 a.m., I believe it was. And we didn't have full bipartisan support, of course. Now, this bill passed the House, but it also has to pass the Senate. And from what we understand, the majority leader over there, Senator Gazelka, as of this afternoon, had not even read the bill yet. So we'll see. I know Chair Mariani is working very, very hard on that. And then this morning we got up and by 9 o'clock we were right back at it and we're passing what we called the CARES bill. And this one is generating the funding for local governments that came from the federal government for COVID and COVID-related issues. So the top priority for our House DFL this session, of course, were the criminal justice reform and police accountability. And then we also made it a priority for the health and economic well-being of all Minnesotans. And so the Federal CARES Act funding was is there to assist workers and families and small businesses, jobs and industry, and state and tribal governments. So our local governments have prepared for and responded to this COVID-19 pandemic pretty well. Of course, intent on keeping all Minnesotans safe. And so this federal funding is absolutely critical to ensuring that they can continue to provide those services that we expect. Within this CARES bill, one of the priorities, of course, was investment to temporarily raise wages for personal care attendants who are caring for those most vulnerable Minnesotans, because we know they don't get paid enough, and their work that they do is so hard. They give everything they've got, and then as the representative who carried this bill, Paul Marquardt, said, then they give their hearts for free. So they give everything they can, and then they give their hearts for free. It was a very poignant moment for me. We were also looking for assistance for low-income families and children. We want to invest in preventing veteran suicide and homelessness, and then ensuring that rape kits are tested and that there is federal compliance for child care assistance and so much more in that bill. So that was this morning. The bill created three separate pots of money. We kind of got a theme here of three pots of money, and it establishes formulas for distributing that money from those pots. So one was the cities with populations of 200,000 or more get to use the pot of $350 million. And then the second pot is for counties. They would have to share $467 million, and then towns would have to split almost $24 million. And so the bill provides that every city in the state with at least 200 people will receive the same dollar amount per person. And that comes out to about $75.34 per person. And then there was monies that were going to go directly to the tribe, if I'm not mistaken. I would have to go back and take a look at that. But if I'm not mistaken, I think $20 million was going to go to Leech Lake and White Earth bands to repay that overpayment that they received from the federal government under medical assistance. So I am hoping, absolutely hoping, that we are able to get that done in the Senate and pass that over to the governor, because I know he is especially interested in getting that done. Then this afternoon, we scooted over and we did the Promise Act, and that whole bill worked very intentionally around securing different pieces of legislation and pots of money to ensure that those communities that were affected by the civil unrest will be able to be made whole. And some of those things that that were really important is that the money would go to the communities. There's concern for gentrification. There's concern that the state will come in and use eminent domain and take those buildings away. They're looking for assistance with rental and sales tax and many different things. There's an establishment of the Metro Area Redevelopment Corporation that would be run and allocated by people of color, the ones that are the ones that are most affected by that. And so we had a very lively discussion on that as well this afternoon. Representative Cowley Herr from St. Paul was phenomenal. If you're able to go back and review that tape from our session, I wish you would, because she was absolutely phenomenal in telling the story about what it's really all about when it comes to black and brown and indigenous people. And so I am on a bit of a break. We started at 8 o'clock this morning. We had a break around lunchtime, just finishing up like a dinner time break, waiting for the Senate to come back. And we will continue into the night, probably well past midnight again. I think our legislative day ends at 7 a.m. So we could go all the way straight through till 7 a.m. Keep your eyes and ears open. And just send us really good wishes and hoping that we get a lot of good legislation done here. So you all take care. Enjoy this beautiful weekend, this summer solstice. Take care of each other. Wopula Tonka.
Pini Gigi for your words of wisdom and information. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was House Representative Mary Kunish Podine, and we'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudigy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pini Gigi, and thank you for your support.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today, chance of storms with high near 77. While tonight's mostly cloudy with a low around 60, tomorrow chance of storms with a high near 83, Monday chance of storms with a high near 78, and Tuesday mostly sunny, high near 75. Estate planning doesn't just create a plan for what happens after you die. It helps your loved ones care for you in the event of an accident or as you age. Get started today with Stroman Law in St. Paul. Call 651-571-2515 or visit stromanlaw.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We are always happy to hear from Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350. What's going up in the Great North? Winona LaDuke calls it the Deep North. What's happening up there?
Well, welcome again to all our listeners out there, and appreciate the time they take to listen. I'm Nancy Bolio. I'm the Northern Organizer for Minnesota 350 here in Bemidji, Minnesota. And yesterday, Rise Coalition, MN350, decided that we would show some support to our White Earth relatives at the Shooting Star Casino. There was a rally. The rally was to rally the people to say, hey, you know, we got systemic injustice here. We got a lot going on here, and we need to really stand together in a peaceful way, and we need to call attention to these matters. The main focus of yesterday's rally was the reopening of the casinos. We know Fond du Lac is open, Leech Lake is going to open on Monday, and there's other states, I mean other casinos throughout the state that are already open. Well, once again, our elected leaders failed to consult with the people to ask if we were okay with this threat to our public health, the threat to our knowledge, our elders, our children, the threat to our tribe and our culture. No one asked us. So basically what they did is they forced our people back to work. And when they forced them to work, these people have no choice but to go back, because if they deny going back to work, they'll be fired and they're not eligible for unemployment nor social services because they denied employment, and that's not good. So our people went, they're starting to go back to work, and there's protocols put into place, yes. But one thing they are failing to do is requiring the guests to wear masks. And if you look at some of the, they don't have to wear them. And that poses a big threat. And for each business in Minnesota, each business under the guidelines for Minnesota, the safety protocol, each business has their own discretion to say if you're going to wear a mask or not. Mm. And so we can easily impose that. Say, you know what? Okay, we're going to reopen, but you got to mask up to help protect our employees, our people here. But they don't have to. Yesterday in Fond du Lac, that parking lot was full. It looked like business as usual. We did not go in because we don't feel safe going in. But we feel the tribal council made a colonized decision and put profit over people. Mm-hmm. We know there's COVID relief fund out there, and with some of those monies, it was used to help protect our communities. And what we see is, you know, that we've become dispensable. Mm-hmm. And that's not how we take care of each other in Indian country. We're supposed to look after each other, take care of each other. We're a village, and we forgot our ways. Not all of us, but some of us. So yesterday, we kind of made some noise, some good noise, mm-hmm. and brought that out, along with the ICWA, the Indian Child Welfare Act we talked about. We talked about the MCT land. We reflected on all the injustice that we experience here. And the reason why we supported White Earth, because all tribes are the same throughout Minnesota, throughout the nation. We face the same disparities and the injustice. So that's why, you know, we had also non-White Earth people there yesterday, because one Anishinaabe, one drum. So we show support and we stand in solidarity. When we first started yesterday, they said we couldn't do a protest. We said it's not a protest. We're not protesting nobody. We're doing a rally to rally up our people. So about an hour later, they came back out and said, okay, you guys are fine to be here as long as you guys stay peaceful. You don't interrupt our business, and we're fine with that, we told them. So we set up a canopy and our warrior flag, the red warrior flag, and our honor treaties banner that MN350, our team, was so nice to create and donate to us. And anyway, so we were holding down. We were doing live streams and giving speeches and talking about the truth and the injustice. And apparently, I believe they were watching our live feed and they didn't like what they heard. And eventually, here come the cops. Head of security, and I just knew by the way they were walking, and they set up some police, a couple in the parking lot over by the gas station. a couple on the other side of us and a couple off yonder. We knew something was about to happen, but we didn't think we were going to be asked to leave. So here they come. We're peaceful. And all of a sudden, we got 15 minutes to leave per orders of the tribal council. So the White Earth Tribal Council had us removed off of our own MCT land. So the Wealth Act gave us money to build that casino. And that casino belongs to stakeholders. The land belongs to stakeholders. The casino was developed to make money for the people. So that's our business. But once again, we got bullied by the White Earth Tribal Council because we were out there speaking the truth. And then one reason why we went out too was their last TEC meeting, which is the Tribal Executive Committee. That's the meeting of all chairmen and secretary treasurers for the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. They had a Zoom meeting, Robert. These TEC meetings are public, but they didn't give us the Zoom link. They know we're rising. They know we're making some good noise. And they feel threatened by us.
Mm-hmm.
So they're obviously using their old tactics and trying to intimidate us. And all we invited the tribal council to come out and visit with us and have that conversation. That's all we're trying to start is conversation so we can be included in the dialogue because we're continuously left out and our words fall on deaf ears all the time. And we just want to find healing. We want to find safe communities. We want to boot out the drug dealers on the reservation. We want to stop pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure COVID doesn't come here and you know, really, really hurt our tribes because, you know, public health, Indian health services is already underfunded, always has been.
Right.
So we are totally unprepared for a rash of COVID cases. We're not ready for that. And what we found out yesterday was one of the employees at the White Earth Casino, she was told she has COVID-like symptoms. She was told not to come to work until she got a doctor's note. She also relies on public transportation. Well, public transportation in White Earth refuses to give her a ride because they think she has COVID. So now she's left without a ride. She cannot go back to work. So I asked the head of security, is like, well, you know, what is your protocol for employees? Because we already got one employee that was told not to come back until she seen a doctor, got papers cleared to say she was COVID-free, but she can't even get to the doctor. So basically, you want people to come to work, and if they get sick, go away, and you deal with it. We don't want you back no more, and you're on your own.
Mm.
I said, why are you guys not helping her? So there's already a problem, and we don't feel this is a very good decision. And again, it's a colonized decision. It's all about money. And I really honestly think they should reevaluate their decision or at least for the moment require the customers to wear masks. It's very helpful. We see in other places that it does help. It does slow the spread, but it's not happening here. And
right.
I think that's another bad decision on top of one bad decision. So, yeah, we just rallied up yesterday and tried to go in peace and it kind of ended up loud a little bit. I mean, we were...
That's cool. I heard rumors you had two megaphones. Was that true? You had two of them?
Well, we had a backup.
Stereo.
We didn't need the backup. Just in case. You always got to bring a backup
so you can
be heard. And yeah.
Well, this seems to be happening all over Turtle Island. We're talking in South and North Dakota, too. And wherever natives are cornered in a small area. So we need to resist this, and we really appreciate what you're doing up there. Do you got one last thing?
Well, no, I just wanted I think we're okay with what I said. It's just to have people, I just encourage people to get engaged. When we stand together, we don't stand alone. And I also want people to start marking their calendar for August 21st through August 23rd. We are having a camp, a mini powwow at Wabin. I don't have the name of the camp on hand, but it's already been reserved. We are going to camp social distance. There's 45 acres. Everyone needs to bring their own tents, protective gear, bring your inner tubes, your swimsuits. And we're also going to have a mini powwow, horseshoes, and all those good things. And it's just the time to rejuvenate and build power.
Perfect.
August 21st, 23rd, Waubun, Minnesota. Mark your calendars, everybody. We want you there. We want treaty keepers, earth defenders, and water protectors to show up.
Right on. Hey, this is Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 giving us her weekly update. Pini Gigi for all you do, Nancy. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
If you're hurting in your relationship and want to talk, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, safe, confidential, and anonymous domestic violence helpline at 1-844-762-8483 or connect with a live advocate one-on-one by using the chat now button at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robinskaplan.com.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
For over 100 years, Mitchell Hamlin School of Law in St. Paul, Minnesota has been committed to providing access to legal education and experience in the law. At Mitchell Hamlin, students can specialize in Indian law, taking courses about federal Indian law, tribal law, natural resources, and more. Students can complete their JD full-time, part-time, in person, and online. Learn more about Mitchell Hamlin's Native Justice Scholarships and how to apply at mitchellhamlin.edu. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is one of my favorite parts of the show. It just kind of lets us kick back after getting a little overwhelmed by all the news that's going on, and this is what we like to call What Does My Elder Think, and my name's Wakunja Hade, and that great name was given to me by my uncle, my Daga. It means distant thunder, and Uncle Curtis, introduce yourselves and welcome.
My name is Moshke Hanazinga. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized taxpayer name is Curtis West. And I always got to say hello to my baby girl, my beautiful wife, Kim. And I want to say another thing. I always say, ha-ho, we prayed before the show came on today. And anyway, I'm going to say we're asking for prayers in four directions to all our family and relatives and friends in four directions. We pray all as well. You know, stay safe and I'm blessed with this COVID-19 going out there. And one thing I'd like to say, you know, I always say Pina Gigi, thank you to my Chuske Robert here, Wakunja Hade. He lets me express myself for a couple minutes, and I try not to get out of line, but let me, I'm going to shout out some birthdays, shout out some events. You know, with this lockdown, there ain't too many events, but Robert's got some events for us, and we'll get into that later on. But I'm going to start off with some birthdays. These are, this is real special to me. These are two beautiful, beautiful girls that I got a chance to give them their native names to, and they're twin sisters, and they're so beautiful that I can't explain it. I want to say happy birthday to Jelaine and Jaleesa, and I want to say happy birthday to them lovelies. And I got a chushkay over there in White Bear. His name is Jeremy Josephson, man. He's a real good man, a good husband, good father. And I want to say happy birthday to Jeremy. And a friend of ours that I want to say happy birthday to, I know he's listening right now. I want to say happy birthday to Andy Pearson. I want to say happy birthday, Andy. Yeah, I want to give a happy birthday shout out to him. And there's another one over in God's country, relative of ours. And, she always thinks everybody will mess up her last name, but I want a happy birthday shout out to Michelle Winishek, and happy birthday to you over there. Ooh. And yeah, this other relative of ours, me and Tushke, is his beautiful wife. We got Luann Whiteagle. That's Danny Whiteagle Jr.'s queen. So I want to say happy birthday over there. And there's another one over here in the Twin Cities. A good friend and family member is Judy Redhorn. I want to say happy birthday to her. And another one over there, our relative over there, another beauty. Well, all our relatives are beautiful, but we want to say happy birthday to Andrea McKee over there. And she's in the Twin Cities here, so I'm going to say happy birthday to her. And there's a one that me and Tushke always look out for, and, you know, our elders. There's somebody a couple minutes or a couple days older than us, but they're our elders. And, you know, with this pandemic going on, we'd ask you, you know, check in on them. You don't have to do a social distance, but just check in on them. Give them a phone call. See if they need anything, you know, any groceries or anything. Check in on your elders, please. And so we're going to say happy birthday to Daryl Bird, Marie Lewis, George Lewis Jr., Edward Cloud, Dallas White, Loretta Cloud. We want to say happy birthday to them. And I got to say another special happy birthday to one of me and Robert's little newest addition to our family. So he's going to celebrate 3 years old today, and they're having a thing. You know, families are going to get together, but they're going to do a drive by over there. And anybody that wants to go over there, you can give three honks on your horn because Rocco is 3 years old this morning, so we're gonna give him a drive by and honk three times over there. So that's another thing. And I'm gonna give out some shout outs too. You know, I wanna give a shout out to American Indian Movement, and you know, I keep thinking about it, and I keep praying for us. And you know, what you did for Indian country over in Minneapolis, man, it's unbelievable. And I just want to give you a large pinigigi, you know. And I'd like to give another shout out to the frontliners and you know, the first responders, you know, the doctors and nurses and EMTs, truck drivers, it's something that we're going through, that it's unbelievable what you guys are going through. And you know, and this is another reminder, and I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to remind anyway, you know, about that social distancing. You know, this pandemic is far from over. You know, just, you know, if you're out there, wear a mask and gloves if you can. You know, and it's a strange thing we're in right now, this world. But another shout out I want to give out to is Dave Hutch. You know, he said he hasn't been on social media and stuff like that, but he's too busy doing the best job he can with you know, with security and everything. So we appreciate everything that the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office is doing. You know, thank you, Tushke Dave Hutch. And another thing we're going to shout out too is that another reminder. I want to say Pinigigi to the Ho-Chunk Nation for the farm to family program that's going on. You know, Pinigigi. You know, and. Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And what they're doing is they said it's going to be every Friday, and just post up on that. It's like from 10 to when it's gone. So they say get there early. And if you need a delivery to your home, if you don't have a vehicle or anything, please contact them, because they'll be more than happy to deliver it to your front door. And
yeah, I stopped by and said hi to John Green Deer, former president, handing out food. It was beautiful.
Yeah, John is a man. I ain't kidding you, man. I really much love and much respect for him, man. And I everything he does is like we always say, Church Guy, he's a multitasker, you know. But that guy don't know how to do it. He'll figure it out in about a second, you know. That's why I say, man, how old are John Green Deer?
Mm-hmm. But
another thing I wanna give a shout out again too, you know, before I forget, you know, I wanna say it's a little early, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm gonna say happy Jaji Day, you know.
Yeah.
And Jaji and Ho-Chunk is father. And so happy Father's Day. And I want to tell you, everyone out there, I love all my dads. And there's a lot of my dads out there that I consider my dad. And much love and respect, you know. And another shout out I want to give out to is a friend of me and Trushke here. And he's always listening in and he's always trying to support and get Native Roots Radio out there. I want to say a shout out to Jerry Rabbit Ogunash. You know, he's always supporting us and putting the word out and getting us more listeners. So, hey, Jerry, I say Pinagigi and Miigwech to you out there. And another shout-out I want to give out to is congratulations to Crystal Norcross on her new addition. I'm glad that you are both home together, you know. You know, I know what you were going through. So, hey, congrats, Crystal. And I want to say that much for that, you know. So,
oh.
And, yeah, so.
So, hey, I got a quick shout-out. I definitely want to give a quick shout-out to my daughters, Jaleesa and Jelaine, on their birthday coming up here like you did, Uncle Curtis. And also, we're doing something a little different Sunday. We're going to be sharing in the Solosis live stream benefit for Native COVID Action and Taboo, Rodriguez, Armat, Mac DeMero, and many, many more are going to be on this live stream. So it's a benefit for a Native COVID Action, and we're really proud to promote that this week instead of the symposium. So that's going to be really awesome. And, of course, we have our Patreon we always talk about. Thank you all you people that are donating to us and keep it coming. It really, with your support, that's how we're staying on the air. And also Pilots Progressive Party on Wednesday. And back to you, Uncle Curtis. Do you have a gaga or words of wisdom?
Yeah, I got a quote. This really, really touched me. It's a quote from Chief Joseph. He said that, I believe much trouble would be saved if we opened our hearts more.
Beautiful. Pinagigi, Uncle Curtis, for all your positive influence and updates.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenicoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests, which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation.